Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thanks, Shippy. It's a Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Kevin, KT Turner, getting a lot of burn today. His skin is not here. We're getting KT about 40 carries today, and he's very, very up to the challenge. And one of the things we like to do on Tuesdays is visit with the great Brian Broaddus from DallasCowboys.com once he's had a chance to digest the film and whatnot. And he joins us now. How you doing today, Broaddus?
Doing well, boys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate having you. I always read your analysis before you watch the film and then after you watch the film, and really enjoyed it this week. And in particular, I want to start with Xavier Woods. We've talked to you in the past about, you know, he's kind of got a rap as being a guy who's not a big tackler, perhaps. And
sure,
I felt like he was really bringing it in this game, and I hated seeing him get that penalty. I didn't see anything that he did wrong, but I really thought he had a good game, and I'm not even talking about the interception.
No, you're right, Ben. And, you know, and I've been very, very critical of Xavier Woods, and, you know, I wanted him to tackle better. You know, unfortunately, at the end of that game, that 49-yard run or 48-yard run, whatever it was, he had a chance to make a tackle in space, and he missed it. But overall in the game, you're absolutely right. I felt like, though, that, you know, he's in a very bad situation. You know, with when that ball is thrown, you know, he has got to go get it. And he's either going to get a penalty or he's going to let them catch the ball. And, you know, with the way the receiver was falling backwards, reaching up for the ball, you know, if Kuti keeps his hands – or actually keeps his balance, excuse me – then he's going to hit him right in the chest, and then you're going to get probably the ball getting knocked loose, except Kuti was falling backwards and then reaching up for the ball. And, you know, really Woods had no room to hit him other than, you know, right on the in the chest area and into the head area. So, you know, these officials don't take those things in account. You know, they call it a defenseless receiver, but he had both hands on the ball. If it's a defenseless receiver, the ball's 2-3 feet over his head. That's where you get the defenseless receiver. But the fact that the ball was there, he arrived, I thought, at the right time. You know, it was a good, clean lick to try and jar the ball loose. I don't know what else you have to do as a safety player. I don't think Darren Woodson could have played in this day and age with the way the rules are and the ways that, you know, Ronnie Lott, those guys from back in the day, could have played in the way that the league now is protecting these players. I'm all for player safety, but I'm also for, you know, your livelihood is to try and dislodge that ball from the receiver, and I thought he did a pretty damn good job of that.
So we know Jadeveon Clowney can make almost anyone look bad, so I want to kind of broaden this out to the entire season. What's your take on Tyron Smith so far, you know, throughout these five games?
Hasn't been great, KT.
Yeah.
You know, he's had his problems, you know, and I don't think it has something to do with health issues and all. I mean, he's been, you know, he's talking about the off season. He's talking about training camp. You know, they kind of limited him, the reps that he has. Now, again, it's one of those positions where they play 65 plays and then you have three bad plays and it looks terrible. You know, and Clowney does a guy, and him and Watt, they're going to move around. They're going to, you know, they're going to rush you from, you know, various levels and points and stuff along that line. But yeah, overall, you know, I think there's been some trouble. I think the bar has been set so high for Tyron Smith that, you know, that we accept just shut down play every single week. And unfortunately, he's played against some really quality defensive ends, some linebackers, guys that, you know, present problems as rushers. And so, again, the level of he's played at has been good, but it's not at the level of once or what we've come to seeing him play at before, where he's just, like I said, just a total shutdown guy.
Yeah, speaking of shutdown guys, Byron, it looked like in Detroit, Stafford wanted no part of him. It looked like he wasn't even going to throw over there. And then he got a lot of action this game, but it was mostly against DeAndre Hopkins. So as you analyze the film, did you see Byron have a rough game, or did he just get kind of DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, that's Hopkins is the way he plays. And, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to make you carry him across the field. He's going to make you play up the field. You know, there's some things, if you go back on DallasCowboys.com, and matter of fact, on Twitter, I just retweeted it. You know, I broke down the goal line play with Jalen Smith, and he had really outstanding coverage on those goal line plays down in the red zone when it got tough, tight. You know, you're going to give up some plays, and you're going to give up some plays to guys that are those rare players that can go get the football, that run great routes, you know, that catch the ball wherever it's thrown. And so I didn't think that Byron played all that badly. I just felt like, there was on speaking to the plays I broke down, you know, the second play I broke down on the sack, by J.J. Watt, it was an All-Pro player versus an All-Pro player. So, you know, you're gonna draw some, you know, some coverage sometime and some blocks you have to make of guys that are just as good as you are. And I kind of felt like that's the way that what happened to Byron this week.
So, Brad, you're a guy who's been in many organizations.
Yeah.
You've ran an NFL draft. I mean, been in the league for years, okay? What is it like, and I don't want to put you in a bad spot, but what is it like for other coaches, assistants, scouts, even players even, when you see that happen in overtime and you punt when it seems like the obvious choice is to be confident in your team and go for it and go win the game and be aggressive? I mean, what is that like for people behind the scenes?
Well, you get into a situation where I remember many a bus ride leaving stadiums with the scouts, the coaching staff, everybody on the bus. We all, you know, knots on our ties are all loosened, other side of the shirt maybe, and you're kind of, you know, you realize that you might have given one away, and you're thinking about, okay, what do we need to do? And the first thing I always thought about is, okay, did I not get you the players to execute that play? Is there something that I'm missing here? And, you know, I always felt like, though, then I learned that from Ron Wolf. And I know, KT, you're a longtime Packer fan. Your family's longtime Packer fans. And, you know, we were there, and guys like John Dorsey and John Snyder and all this, we used to have these discussions, and it was like, okay, we're not doing enough to help the coaches here. Are we missing, you know? And you got to feel like, though, as a scouting department, you know, you've helped them with an offensive line. You've helped them with a running back, you know. And, again, this is where it comes down to, though. It's a coaching decision. But on the other hand of it, I always took the approach of, okay, I'm not calling a third down defense, or I'm not calling a fourth and one play, but I've got to help my coach get the right players. And if I didn't help him get the right players, then – I feel like that I let him down if he has to make one of those calls. But, you know, if you're Will McClay and those guys, and again, I'm talking, I shouldn't put Will McClay's name in there, but I'm just talking about, if I was a scout, the question I would ask is, did I not get you the right players? Did I not get you an offensive line? Did I not get you a running back? Did I not get you things that you need to make that decision? That's the hard thing. And, you know, you're really into it all together. They'll circle the wagons, and they'll try and block out all the noise of Brian Broaddus complaining about they should have gone for it. You know, they'll do that in a heartbeat. You know, they might see me in the hallway and say, you know, hey, you know, you were kind of squawky about that. I'm like, well, that's what I believe. And I just feel like, though, that you know, you just, on the personnel side of it, you never want to say, hey, I don't want to be a guy calling plays. And then but then on the flip side of that, during the draft and when we're all getting together, KT, and watching film and doing all that, we don't want the coaches to screw up our draft. So, you know, it's really kind of a two-way street there. But
yeah,
you always want to be able to say, did I get you the players to give you a chance to succeed to make those calls? And, you know, you got to kind of feel like that, you know, they had that line, and they've had the running back, and, you know, they have the capability of a quarterback that's a really good ball handler to maybe make that work. But that's the call that Jason Garrett made.
Yeah, you know, speaking of players that give you a chance to be successful, but boy, we had Barry Church on, and we pre-recorded it. We're going to air it at 5:40, an interview with Barry Church. Now, he's with the Jags, and he was going on and on about the Cowboys linebackers. He was so impressed with Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch. Boy,
sure.
It used to be you're not going to have Sean Lee, and Cowboys fans are like, all right, well, we're not going to win this. When's he coming back? But now they're thriving without Sean Lee, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And it's, you know, but you want Sean Lee back, Ben. I mean, I know you're going with this in the good way. I mean, you're not trying to kill Sean Lee here.
No.
You're trying to say that, you know, hey, that, you know, this is the first time in several years where this defense has not been hampered by the loss of Sean Lee. You know, I felt like that, you know, down the red zone, they played really, really well. And that could be really a dicey situation when you got a young linebacker, rookie linebacker on the field. I mean, like I say, this play I broke down of the Jalen Smith tackle right before the half. I mean, you see Leighton Vander Esch do exactly what he has to do. You see him play with his eyes. You see him sink in coverage. You see him continue to carry his man. Even as Watson's running with the ball, he doesn't leave his guy. He stays with where he needs to be. So, yeah, you know, and Jalen Smith, and I can't say this enough, that I was completely wrong about Jalen Smith. You know, and I watched Miles Jack play today, and Miles Jack's a good player, but I'm going to say that Jalen Smith is playing better than Miles Jack from the film that I've been watching of Miles Jack. And trust me, I had Miles Jack and Ezekiel Ezekiel Elliott as my two top players coming out of that draft. So, you know, Jalen Smith has really, really proved me wrong as far as what his abilities are. You know, I mean, he's getting closer and closer to that player that we saw at Notre Dame. I don't think he's quite there yet. But the way that he's able to play sideline to sidelines, be physical at tackling, you know, these are all things. These linebackers have been very, very impressive. Barry Church would know that. He's been around these guys. He knows the game. And he's playing very well for Jacksonville as well.
How much of the Jaguars have you gotten to see so far?
Watched it all.
Yeah,
so fire me a question if you want.
Last week I saw that Moncrief got all the targets, but yeah. I've been thinking about Keelan Cole.
Yeah.
And then D.D. Westbrook was in the mix earlier
right.
in the year. They're kind of like the Cowboys where they don't have a number one wide receiver. It's kind of just play point guard and spread the ball around. And without Fournette in the game. So who's kind of the targets to look out for offensively for
yeah,
them?
Yeah, you hit them all, though, KT. And I think the fact that Blake Bortles, he was really – and I'm not telling anybody any secrets. If you follow football, you know that he didn't play very well against Kansas City. And so – you know, that's something that they've been affected by. The quarterback play is if you can get ahead of him and then you can make him have to make throws and you can find a way to, you know, if you hit him and get him kind of nervous, you get turnovers from him, then all of a sudden he just starts checking the ball down. He starts looking for the tight end more. He starts throwing the ball underneath. You know, he won't take those shots down the field. Now, if he gets into a little groove, then you got to watch out for him. But it really has been a lot before, you know, like what the Cowboys have done. They really have not done anything, you know, offensively where you say, okay, wow, this is just a go-to receiver. This is their 1, 2, and 3. They've really tried to spread some things out here. But, you know, the quarterback play has been really, really up and down for them, and that's been a big, big problem for them as far as what they've been able to do. They probably haven't got off to the start that they thought they were going to get off to because, again, the quarterback's been struggling.
You're the GM. Take contracts out of it. Who would you rather have, Bortles or Dak?
Oh, well, you know, KT, I was really high on Bortles. That's, you know,
back in the day. That was 5 years ago, though.
Yeah. I think that if, you know, given if you said, I think that, I put it this way, I think Dak would succeed with the weapons they have in Jacksonville more than Bortles would succeed at the weapons they have here in Dallas.
Yeah, I think
does that make
fair.
Sense?
That absolutely makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, I mean, to me, because I, you know, and this is one of those things where I'm still trying to figure out. I'm still trying to figure out where I'm going to get all the catches from Dez and where I'm going to get all the catches from Witten. I mean, I'm still hunting that. I think a thing that we haven't talked about very much here is the offensive line play. Has it been nearly consistent enough? Is, you know, you go in, you felt like you could hang your hat on this offensive line. I think that's part of what's going on right now. I don't think it's a total collapse, but again, the bar has been set so high for this crew. You have a new left guard, you have the center who's you know, Jason Garrett even talked about this. Some of the problems they've had on the road has been communication problems, you know, and sometimes you get a guy like a Travis Frederick who has been played so many
yeah.
snaps. He never missed snaps, never missed games. You take for granted communication on the road in those games. And, again, not trying to mess with Joe Looney. He's a really bright guy. But the experience that Joe Looney has in those hostile environments to kind of hold things together is not as good as what Travis Frederick has. So, you know, that's kind of something that we need to think about right now. But the wide receivers, it's very clear that they just don't have – enough playmakers on the outside to make a difference. And that's affecting the way the quarterback's played. The quarterback has not been good at times as well either. So, you know, I thought he held him in the game the other day. I thought he gave him a chance to win. Please go to DallasCowboys.com and look at the play I broke down, the second play of the two I did. You'll see that Scott Linehan called a really good play. It could have been a difference maker play, but your right guard missed a block on another all-pro, and that killed you for the play.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And man, the will to win stuff is there from Dak. I mean, taking vicious hits, hanging
well,
in the pocket.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
The creative spin out and, you know, the miracle play to Tavon. And
yeah.
I mean, he's fighting his ass off.
He
in
is.
There.
He is. And he's limited what he can do as a quarterback. He's limited in what, you know, people argue with me. They're like, oh, Bryce, you said he was the seventh or eighth best quarterback in the league. For what he has right now, I would challenge any other quarterback to come in this situation and try and do better. I mean, and we talk about the running game. When the running game's not there, and then the offensive line has struggles, and then your receivers are not – doing good enough. I mean, it's a struggle for this guy. It really, really is. And not that he has to have everything perfect, but we saw what happened when he can make plays on, you know, when he can improvise a little bit, he can come up with some incredible plays. And, you know, but it's just been few and far in between. They haven't been consistent enough overall. You know, it's two step forward, one step back. It's been a lot of things going on with this offense, and you know that's going to kind of be what they are the whole year until KT and I can get in the film room and fix this thing up.
No doubt. And hey, that said, the NFC East is a mess.
It's a mess. And you know, I heard you guys. I was driving. I was going out, and I was listening to you guys go around the NFL yesterday. And you guys are absolutely right. I mean, you just got to find a way to put together three or four games. And I don't think anybody's going to run away with this. Last year we saw Philly run away with it and hide at the end. The way it is the first month of the season, maybe they pull things together, but they've got issues on their offensive line. They've been giving up some points. They've lost some games already they probably shouldn't have lost. You know, they shouldn't have lost to Tampa. You know, that was a bad loss for them. So here they are. They've got three losses in the book already. You've got three losses. The Redskins look like kind of what they are. The Giants, you know, got beaten on a 63-yard field goal the other day. You just got to find a way to put four games together and build yourself a little momentum. Try and get this thing to December and then see what you can do from there.
Awesome. Really appreciate the time, Brian. Thank you.
Take care, boys.
Man, Broadus, if Broadus is on the radio, I'm telling everyone in the car to be quiet. I'm turning up the volume.
Feast.
If Broadus writes something on DallasCowboys.com, I'm reading every damn word, sometimes twice, maybe three times. That guy is the absolute best at what he does. I really honestly don't even know how I feel about things until I've digested everything he's had to say about how he feels about things. I'm like, okay, good. That confirms what I think. Or, damn, I need to look at that again. I maybe saw that the wrong way. He is the absolute best in the business. All right, coming up next, we'll play the Today game. Then we got a Texas OU recap with some funny audio. That was a great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.